Here we are. We're home again. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Home again, home again, home again. We had a lovely cruise down the Mexican Peninsula, Baja Peninsula, over the Baja Peninsula Tip Pyramid at the Cabo San Lucas and Puerto Vallarta and Mazatlan, and we just had a wonderful 7 days. Ellen and I sat on our deck chairs on our patio and really soaked up the sun and did our computer work. Ellen was studying the Apple computer now, preparing herself to be an Apple genius. And I'm studying the Apple computer to be Apple friendly or Apple whatever it's called. And it's coming along pretty good. We're just having a good time. But we did have a good time on our trip down to the Baja. The weather was ideal. The ship was ideal. The people aboard the ship were ideal. Naturally, the food was ideal. And it's like having a 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 course meal with every meal. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine an 8 course meal at breakfast? And the fact is, yes, most of the time you have an 8 course meal at breakfast, but you never think of it that way, you know, because here at our house, for our breakfast, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different items that you put into your bowl to go with your morning cereal and milk and honey, if you use it. And then we have Another, that could be many courses, but just call that one course. And then the course of eggs and the bread and fruit and coffee and or tea or whatever we have. And we're having all these great things. And Ellen is trying to make a noise over here to get attention.
I didn't want to make a noise.
And she's just trying to get attention because on the cruise, Ellen did her best to get attention. She wore very charming outfits every time we went out. She looked like Princess Di as we walked up and down the halls of the ship, and everyone stopped and stared at her and looked at her and said, "My, what a lovely lady. What a beautiful lady." And, of course, I had to admit that that's true. And so, but I was her companion, and we walked along, and we looked very royal. And, you know, when two dancers dance, and one dancer is good, the other dancer rides along on the goodness of their being a good dancer. And that's what I was riding along with Ellen. Because everywhere we went, she seemed to have that affinity for little children. And we'd walk along, and there'd be a little child walking along with their parents and so forth, and she'd look over there, and she'd almost fall over her feet because she's looking with her head to the back as the child goes by to see what the kid's doing, because they're always doing some beautiful things. And she's telling about one evening at dinner, it was a very formal dinner, and everything was so proper and so wonderful, and we were in the Vista Lounge, and there everyone was sitting with their tuxedos or suits or what have you. And the little girl had a little chair and a little raised stool on the chair, putting her at the table like an adult. And she sat there, not quite making 2 years of age, acting like an adult all the way. She properly took her knives and forks and spoons and things like that and ate with them and just was really an amazing... Plus, she was a perpetual smile on her face. Plus, she was always being a mannerly, wonderful child.
Balanced.
So balanced and so harmonious. And we've seen almost all the other 75 children on board this particular cruise of 800 people, rather 1,800 people, 1,900, of all, and they were all mannerly and all well-behaved and all just really fantastic. Well, we went down the coast. The ship ride itself was a adventure and a joyous thing. We had a lovely stateroom, midships, and we were on the second deck from the top, and so we had only one deck to walk up to the Lido deck to go and eat our meals as often as we wanted to. And there were maybe seven or eight buffet ten buffet counters, five on each side. And once one of the buffet counters was ice cream, you know, and goodies. Another buffet counter was full of juices. Another buffet counter was full of salads and other things. Oh, there's more than 10. Yes. And then there's another one which had the main meals, the main courses, and all, maybe seven or eight main courses that you could choose from. And you could have them all if you wanted to. You could go back and eat as many as you wanted, all the same price, the price of getting on the ship. And then they had the section for coffee and tea and hot chocolate. There's never any hot chocolate, I noticed. You drank it all?
Yeah. I drank one.
Was it good?
Yes.
Oh, it was never there when I went. Yeah. Pressed the button and it was always dark. People went for that first off, I think. And then there was cream or milk for your coffee, and there was all sorts of teas. There were maybe about 30 different varieties of teas. You really had to know what you're checking on when you pick it up, but you had a choice. And then there was an Italian counter where you had all the Italian-type foods, including pizzas, and you just go there and just select. There's a hamburger counter where you go and order your hamburger or your bratwurst or your other thing, all sorts of. Of course, I'm making it sound like it's more food than anything else, but it was a lot of food, a lot of food. And the only thing you had to pay for were your cocktails if you had any. Everything else came with the meal. But we tried every restaurant, and we sat with every group of people, and on our last gala evening on board, they had a big festivity in the restaurant. And the restaurant was served at 5 and at 8, 9, wasn't it? 8, 5 and 8. And so we went there for the 5 o'clock one. We ate an early breakfast and early lunch, so we were ready for early supper. And they gave each one of us a chef's hat that you put on your head. And everyone's supposed to wear the chef's hat. But no napkins. We thought, that's kind of strange, no napkins. And then, next thing, all of the people who work on the ship, all of the workers, there are 800 people. That's what 800 is. 800 people who are working on the ship. They were up there serving napkins to us individually. And dancing. And singing. And doing all sorts of crazy things and spinning plates on top of sticks and what have you. Really quite harmonious. And most of these people were from Asia. They had come over from the Philippines and so forth, and they were the deck crew that had been, their agent got them the job. And so they're just real pleasant and really charming people. And can you imagine being on one ship for, a year, and before you go back home again? You know, that's a long time. They didn't get to see their family. Well, it's like men in the Merchant Marine or in the Navy. Your ship goes out, and your family doesn't see you until the ship comes back in, of course, you know. So they had that sort of an adventure. But we thoroughly enjoyed Cabo San Lucas. We took a boat around part of the peninsula there, and we saw the Arch Rock, which is quite famous there. And as we were at the harbor, just before we entered the harbor, we crossed over one of the world pyramids. Throughout the world, there are many pyramids at the lines of meridian, and where the meridian crossed. At one time, pyramids were built all over the world. And there were some, maybe 100 pyramids built all over the world. And many of them are showing up now. In fact, they think they found one in Bosnia. And fellas making quite a big fuss over it. A pyramid that's supposed to be higher than the one that's in Giza. Well, this one that's at the tip of Baja is known only to intuitives because there's no evidence that it had been there. It is so far down under the water because of the shift of the rock and the shift of the land. And it was built maybe about 10,000 years ago. Quite beautiful, quite a significant thing. So you could feel its vibrations if you are attuned to it. And it was quite an experience. Ellen kept saying, can you feel it? Can you feel it? And I had to say, I'm not talking about it. Because if you can't feel it and you talk about it, people think that you're crazy because they think, what right have you got to feel it? And they don't, you know. But more on that later. But we did have a nice cruise around the tip of the peninsula there. And Cabo San Lucas is a very charming and a very touristy area. The beachfront where the boats come in is not as nicely taken care of as it could be. It looks a little bit casual. In Mazatlan, it is more industrial, with a lot of commerce going on there. It's kind of fascinating. And but when we came to Puerto Vallarta, that was really quite a glorious place. And we had one mission there, and that was to go and swim with the dolphins. And so we took the 3.5-hour program of swimming with the dolphins, and we got right into the water with them. They have saltwater ponds there, maybe about 10, 12 miles from the beach. And so when we got there, they instructed us as to what to do and not to touch the blowhole of the dolphin or not to put your hand in its mouth and not to put your hands over its eyes because those are very sensitive areas. But you can rub its tummy, you rub its back, and then you can lay on its tummy and hold on to its pectoral fins and it'll swim with its tail and zip you around the pool, which both and I, Ellen, did. And we held on to those pectoral fins and zoom, we went around that pool. We had each a small life jacket that they put on your chest, and it was a great experience.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And as we were in the pool, the water was just delightfully warm, you know, a little just slightly cool, but warm. And the fish would, the dolphins would come out of the water and stand on their tail and twist and turn up above in the air. How they did that is the most amazing. But they'd jump up, spin, and come back down again. And without hardly breaking the water, it didn't even splash in your face. When at different times they made it splash in your face on purpose. But this was just so beautiful. Unfortunately, you couldn't take pictures. They took the pictures, and then they charged $25 for each picture. So we got one picture each. And so that is going to be nice for you to see. We'll put that in the gist, probably. But Ellen and I just had such a lovely swim with those dolphins, and they are the gentlest, lovingest, neatest little animals you could ever have. And then afterwards, Ellen, while I was taking my shower, she went over, maybe 10, 15 feet away, to a sea lion. And this great big sea lion was sitting at a pulpit giving a talk and clapping its hands, and everyone's going up. And then he'd reach out and kiss people as they go by with his big, whooshly, whiskery beard. Ellen went over and got a cush. So that was really quite exciting. We met a lot of people, talked with a lot of people on our journey, and they were all quite interesting. Each one had attitudes of relationships with the people they were with, attitudes of tours that they had been on and tours that they want to go on, and how the people living in retirement homes and rest homes, they have to pay a certain fee to live there. And if they were to live on this cruise ship, they could live there less expensive than it is being in a old folks home, and you can have your little electric cart to drive you around. You have somebody looking in on you twice a day, once in the morning to make your bed, and once in the evening to prepare your bed for you to go to bed. And it just really has everything. And then they have all the meals are served. All the meals come with the price of the trip. And then, if these people wanted to, and several people are doing that, they're living aboard the ship. And they are traveling all over the world. You know, as the ship changes its programs, then it like this next week, this ship is going to Europe. And so that'll be an exciting adventure for the crew and the staff and everyone. But one of the things that Ellen was so thrilled about, and I never heard her being thrilled about this sort of thing before, but she thought that their engine was spick and span. They kept their engine room and they kept their tubes and things like that, that just so perfect, so polished, so clean, and so nice. And of course, they do, because everything is in high maintenance. When you consider that here is a 12-story, actually it's more than 12 stories, because the first deck has decks below it, you know. But the decks, so 12 going up, including the upper deck, which is used for just vents and walking and stuff. But all these decks, each has to be intercommunicated with all of their programming. Each one has to have, housekeeper had 30 units that he took care of. So every day he was making 30 beds and he was unmaking 30 beds. And then in between each cruise, 7-day cruise, in between each cruise, they'd have to go in and clean everything up and get it ready for the next customer, you know, to come in. And they do that basically in about 6 hours, you know, in preparation. So we just found it very charming, very wonderful. The ship we were on was built in 2003, and it was in exquisite condition. It's had beautiful glass chandelier, like a ball, like the world globe, hanging in the main salon, and it was turning around so you could see, and it had the globe, the world features on it. And Ellen and I sat and watched people dance, and she didn't ask me to dance, so I didn't dance, but we sat and watched people dancing, and it was really beautiful because they were very good. There are maybe about 20 or more bars on there, each separate. And then there was three grand salons. One was the big one that seated over almost 2,000 people, and the other one was about 300 people. And so...
Casino? In the casino?
And a casino, yes. And a beautiful library, and an internet room, and an internet training room where they train you how to do things with PCs. Apple should get in there.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Yes.
And then they have meeting rooms, and you could have, and the card games going on, and the constant amusement. There are two or three things running always at the same time. We're probably having a commercial right now for the Ostrodam. This is for the holiday, American holiday, Holland lines. Very nice. I would recommend them highly. The first tour we've ever taken, and who knows when our next one's going to come. Ellen's looking at a world tour, but they want something like $88,000 each for a world tour, and for 118 days. And I think that's a bit extravagant. But one of the ladies on the elevator, and there are 24 elevators on the ship, one of the ladies getting off the elevator with us said, "This is great. I love this." She says, "I'm going to apply for a job here." She says, you got your food served to you, you got your clothing taken care of, you got your room, and whatever your job is, it's a job. You'd have to do a job any place. You know, 11 hours long, that's true, but any place you'd have to do a job. And she says, I'd like to live here and work here. That would be my favorite thing. And I thought, lady, you are too dynamic a person to ever want to live on a cruise ship and work on a cruise ship 11 hours a day, because there's very little time for your personal activity. And people, they come to the monastery here and they want to entertain the monastery with how cute they are, and they want to come here and attend our programs and do the things that the monastery has. But among the things they want to include, they want to have their shore time. They want to go off campus and go to Disneyland and go to SeaWorld and go to all the places that are amusing, which is fine. But for me, having the sea cruise was one of the most beautiful, delightful, charming things you could ever want. It was restful, it was quiet, it was gentle. The ocean was almost as like a sheet of glass, mm-hmm. and the slight undulations that one felt one now and then were so nominal as nothing. People had seasickness patches all over them, and I thought, what are you seasickness for? You're walking on a sheet of glass, yes. You know. But it's all mental. Yeah. These things are all mental. And again, for us to be on a cruise and spend it all on the ship would be beautiful, never going ashore. But the minute you go ashore, you break that beauty, that peacefulness, that quietness that the ship has to offer. I can see how some men who like to be on ships, who like to be in the Navy or in the Merchant Marines, where they spend long seasons, months at sea, not coming even to port, you know, for anything. I can see how they do that, because it is a meditative time. It is a time of deep introspection, a time of magic. And every time you go to shore, you break that magic spell, and you anticipate from one shore to another shore to another shore. Well, let's see, what are we going to do tomorrow? We're going to go to shore there, and go to shore there, and go to shore there. And the ship is so beautiful. I mean, that ship is worth several $1 billion. Billion, B-I-L-L-I-O-N, because it is big. And it's 950, 60 feet long. It is 150, 70 feet wide. It has all these decks, and it carries 1,848 passengers and 800 crew. And whether they have the crew sleeping in bunks, like maybe four to a bunk room or something like that, or 8 or 12 or 15, like we did during the Navy, or not, I think they probably need to give them a little more privacy, because, but even so, it's a big ship, and it's a big operation, and it was beautifully handled, it was masterfully done. The captain is to be commended for his excellent quality. Plus, shows on board constantly. And people constantly wanted to go to the shows, and they said they're missing something if they're not going to show. Well, the shows are extra, just like the food is extra. But some people just go for the food. They just love to go there and nibble all day long. They sit in the beautiful dining area, and it's always open, always open. And you can always go there for coffee. You can always go there and play cards. Or you can do it in your stateroom. But it's just a glorious journey. And I would like to compare it to campus here, to the monastery. Because our monastery is a self-contained vessel. And people who come here to the monastery come here for meditation, for introspection, for listening within. And every time we have an activity, they're sort of taken away from their meditation. They're taken away from their thing. But it perhaps is what's necessary, because when you go back home, you'll be in the flow of your normal life, doing things that would distract you. However, if you can train yourself like a monk in a cave to be undistracted by what's going on in the world around you, then you have made yourself ready for what we call the next step. The step from being human to the unconditionally loving step of being divine. And that's a nice step. We take it from time to time, but to take it and live in that consciousness would be the ideal thing. Well, that's just a few highlights of our journey. We probably will have Ellen at noon give us a resume of her adventures and how it appealed to her. But for now, have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.